The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
This show may impair the ability to drive or operate machinery. Use care until you become familiar with the effects of this show. Any portion of this show may be duplicated and freely distributed throughout the world. Permission is granted to share all data electronically over the internet or by any mechanical means you do so devise. Feel free to enjoy it all and to think freely as you do. Although this program will have no tangible effect on everyday life on Earth, its implications for science, philosophy, and even religion are profound. And now, back to our show. And now, back to our show.
Down the hatchets and shiver your own timbers, because it's time again to chronicle as long as chronicling will go. Stop making that noise. That beat you hear is my heart. I am the bard of the interweb, king of the web. I am the godfather of internet radio, the bard of broadcasting, and every other lie you could come up with. It's me, Frank Catone, man whose name returns the title of the show. We're going to chronicle, and we're going to have some things for you, you heard and never heard. How about that? That's both things, heard and never heard. Stay with us. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello, and into every bordello. That's where you should all be right now, hanging out, listening to this in a bordello. Does it get more absurd than that? It can, it may, it will. Right here with me, Frank Catolo. And you're going to have Frank Catolo with Frank Catolo. Now, not that I can't get enough of myself. I have too much of myself. But we're going to have some highly requested, I don't want to call them routines, because they're not routines. I don't do routines on this show, and I never did. But I'll get to that in a second. I am the bard of broadcasting, of course, here. Wake up, it's night, and it's time on Y2K plus 18. Hey, ew. Oh, it gets more and more painful to mention the year, the date. Let me start off by thanking Jiggy Jaguar, my friend, James Lowe, who one day won't be with us because, well, you know, you can say that about anybody, right? That's assuming we're here. He's not. Oh, man. But he's just, you know, he's swept up into the, did you hear the show? Did you hear the show? Did you hear the show? It's over there, juicedtalk.com, all about the death of radio. And along with that, who's getting dragged down with it? With it. With it. that's an in-joke for anybody who ever went to college with me. But we're going to do more as the year goes on. We're going to do more about the fall of broadcasting as anyone knew it, knows it, and will ever know it. I mean, that's talking about radio. Do you own a radio? Do you have a radio? I have two transistor radios. One of them works in the shower. I could put it on while I take a shower. If only there were something to listen to on it. And to make the sentence make sense. But we talked about the fall of broadcasting and what's going on out there and how and I we're going to talk some more about that as time goes on. I have the solution, by the way. And if anybody out there, you know, if that Musk guy wants to stop wasting all his money on rockets and put some money into broadcasting again, we could save radio. We can't. I'm not necessarily so I could be on it. I don't care. I'll retire. But I will put on this idea. And I'm not going to tell you this idea now, because if I say it now, someone may run with it. Okay? But this right here, if you could see, if we were television, you'd be looking at the words written upon this paper. You'd be saying, oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Yeah, right. The next big thing, the only thing that can save radio, right here. So we're going to tease that for the next couple of whenever years, months, I don't know. We'll do it in 2018 sometime. It's going to be a big year. I got a feeling 18 is going to be a good year. Well, I don't know. I really don't have that feeling. But I had the song, so I did it. So thank you, Jiggy. And Jiggy Jaguar, still on, still doing the regular radio stuff. Go to JiggyJaguar.com. And don't spell Jaguar, it's Jaguar. Let me fix this microphone here, okay? All right. For those of you listening on the live stream, I say stream, you know, I started saying stream as opposed to saying in the live broadcast. And I never had a problem saying this is a broadcast, but a lot of people did back when there was, you know, radio. I know there's still radio, but even in your car, you're getting it from outer space, right? What are you listening to? And it's all digitalized and, okay. This is not, by the way, and you know this, because if you've been listening to me for all these gosh damn years, you'd know that I am not anti-digital, not anti-internet or anything. I was here when this broadband crap started and all right, let's not go through that. We're not going to. But I'm going to tell you a bunch of things as the year goes on. And that includes, we'll have Seven Graylins on to also talk about this with me. He doesn't know that yet, but when I get in touch with him, he'll do it, because he's just rebuilding pinball machines somewhere in Western Canada. And we can get him away from that for a while. It's a good thing to do, though, because imagine that, this digital brain, this man who was here from the beginning, and he's making analog, well, there's digital involved in it anyway, so it doesn't matter. So we'll have him on. We're also going to have on, I promised you Kenneth Welsh would be on, and he is going to be on. Okay, and I just got to wait for him to come back from Georgia, and he said he's going to come on here and chat. He's a great actor. You might have seen him in The Day After Tomorrow. He's a wonderful guy, and he's promised to be here and chat with me and you. So, Kenneth Welsh. If you haven't ever seen The Day After Tomorrow, the movie, he plays the vice president. And he's in a lot of other movies, too, but you know, one of the Three Musketeers and some other stuff. And he played a great Dr. Watson in a TV version of The Hound of the Baskervilles. Maybe you saw that. You know, there's so much stuff on because there's such a hunger for programming that it doesn't even matter. All the men who were being exiled from entertainment, it doesn't even matter because there's still plenty more to take their place. You could even get a woman to replace them. I hear that's what they did with The House of Cards. Will you ever hear the word? I mean, will you ever see Kevin Spacey again in any relationship to entertainment? That's it. Just like that. It is like that. It's just like that. It's like death. Like that. Complete consciousness. Like that. So here comes your, you know, so we'll never will. So he went, maybe we'll have him on. That would be something. Imagine that. He goes like, well, now I'll come. You know what? Now he'd say, because only the brave people and celebrities and people in the business have come on over the years on this show. They had to be brave because this was like the hinterlands. This was like that place out there where Mad Max drives around with broken cars and kills people for gas. the after the abolition is not the word. Adirondacks is not the word. Apocalypse is the word. After the apocalypse, right? That's what this, so, you know, you had to be brave. Well, I don't know, I should be on regular radio, but, you know. And the brave people came here. Now, imagine Kevin Spacey said, you know what, I'll come on your internet, your interweb radio. Is it a podcast? Anyway, smack your face. I'll smack your face. In fact, smack your facey, Spacey. What the heck? It is a podcast. Just means you play it on an iPod. And nobody has an iPod anymore, yet it's still called podcast. Screw it all. I'd say, no, Kevin, I'm sorry. You've been exiled even from this terrain, this broadcasting terrain, which is it's the far reaches of nowhere out here. No. No, Spacey. What are you going to talk about? I'm just kidding. Come on, and we'll put on three slave twinks, and we'll watch it and talk and describe it. And we'll, you and I, he'll do it from his place, I'll do it from my place, and we'll critique it. How about that? Kevin Welsh, Seven Graylins, and I said, Kevin Spacey, if you want to come on and critique the porn movie with me, we'll do that. And Charles Dennis, who is how I met Kenneth. Although I knew of Kenneth. And then, okay. And you know Charles Dennis because he's been here from, oh my goodness, I don't remember. He was here when Richard Benjamin and Paul Apprentice were on. And Benjamin Jr., who is in his movies, in Charles' movies. And Charles got these other movies coming on. We've had, Charles is coming back with someone new from his he's got Barking Mad is the new movie out there. Charles Dennis, of course, the first person to ever direct or produce film. It's not film. You say film. That's like it's a verb. I film this. What would he do? He made a movie. He made a movie on an iPad. Okay? I don't know how they project that. I don't know anything about that. 50 years in the fish business, and I still don't know how to swim. But I know that it was done. And then Charles will be back. And that's, Charles brings on such great actors and stuff, because they all want to work with Charles. So he'll be on. I also hope to have the three amigos, I being one of them, Tom Savino and Tom Martin. We're the three amigos when we come on, and we'll talk. And it'll be just a wonderful conversation. You'll get that. And if you're listening on the live stream, as I said before I started my broadcast paragraph, which came out of nowhere, as most things do, in my head, from my subconscious into my conscious, then Savino Veritas will be on live after this. If you're listening to this on a... Now, you know what? If you're listening to this on Juice Talk, even though it's not live, you could set it up so that you download or just play this, and then right after it, bingo, the latest episode of Savino Veritas. So you could do that yourself, because that's what everyone does anyway. Everyone has their own station now, okay? So that's why there's not even any more interweb radio stations. We used to be on the hundreds of them, not hundreds, but that's part of the lie, and the big lie is here. And we're going to do a show on that, too. I'm going to do a show because well before the United States of America was home to a weird guy who became president who lies and says things and makes things up, before that, I told you all about proclaiming things and saying things and how they catch on, as in Howard Stern. We talked about Howard Stern. He said, I am the king of all media. Says who? Says him. And then all of a sudden he's the king of all media. Everybody says, oh, that's the king of all media. Okay. Before he did that, and I think he was inspired by the Rolling Stones, he said, we're the greatest rock and roll band in the world. They called themselves the greatest rock and roll band in the world. So everyone said, you know, that's the Rolling Stones, they're the greatest rock and roll band. It catches on, and this show is going to be about all those things. They're all lies or fabrications, things made up in a show we like to call I Say It, So It Must Be True. Now, I don't often title these shows. And Lord knows in the archives that I have, there's nothing. It doesn't say anything. I don't even put the tags in it. I don't sit and do that crap. Just come on. And we talk. Sometimes with guests, sometimes not. Also, the 22nd, boy, I have my calendar. So I screwed up my calendar completely because I'm a jerk. And when I write my own calendar, for some reason or another, I get from one page to the next. I go, oh, it's Wednesday the 21st. And on the next page, I put Saturday the 22nd. What happened to the other days, Frank? Don't you dare say that's age, because it's not. This is what I've been doing since the second grade, when the teacher called my mom and said, come on up. This kid is not here. He's not all there, and he's not all here. Marla the Matchmaker is going to be here. And this is going to be a spirited conversation. I don't usually have people like this because I'm not that kind of guy. I mean, but I like to have people from all walks of life, all crawls of life in this case, because of me, right? And for some reason or another, they want to be on my show and I can't do that. But here and there, I cherry pick. Now, listen, I had grapevines here, and I had many mulberries. The grounds of my home, we called Mulberry Gardens at one point when life was happier, when depression did not set in and distastefulness was not in. Okay. We had mulberries. So, I'm going to challenge now the phrase cherry pick. Because, you don't just pick cherries. They pick apples. They don't say apple pick. Hey, you apple picked the facts out of this. No, they say cherry picked. They decided that, But if and you've listened to Cotolo Chronicles and read things from this guy Cotolo, whatever, over the years, that I challenge everybody who says anything that's normal or common or has a breath in it. You ever do that? Ever just start to talk and then just keep talking until finally you don't breathe, just keep talking and see how far you can go? I mulberry picked. I'm going to call mulberry pick. What did I mulberry pick? Oh, I mulberry pick various guests I'm going to have on about certain things. And it's fun because, once in a while, and it's happened, people have come on and been insulted because they thought it was going to be a Harry Connick sitting there going, oh, hi, housewives and everybody, I'm Harry Connick. Boy, did that guy disappoint me. I thought he was cool. And he winds up, in that morning garbage show. Hi, I'm Harry Connick Jr. I didn't want to talk about him or anyone or no less put people down. But Marla is going to be here. Wonderful woman. She's wrote a book called Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Buddha. No, it's called The Buddha Made Me Do It. And Marla, I'll tell you the truth because I try to. I'll tell you the GHT. God's honest truth. And that is, I forgot her last name. Marla, I can find it. I'm not going to look for it. She'll be on the 22nd of February. And that's going to be fun because she's going to talk about these things like Reiki. And she's going to talk about all these kind of stuff. I should have Tom Savino on with me because he's into all that stuff. And she's going to talk about matchmaking, finding love yourself, find the love of your life or what have you. I don't know. This stuff, And by the way, that reminds me, if you want to, now and then an opinion of mine, which may or may not flow in a cogent fashion, so that it sounds like a voice, comes out in a column, which I do once a month at For Culture magazine, forculture.com. Now, I used to do some very intelligent, but I used to do some very intelligent and little pieces of fiction and stories and things like Molotov memoirs that aren't in those books. Okay, but now I just do a column and I just spit out things about things. But I call it rocket science because I don't think life and thinking and emotions, I don't think any of this stuff is as complicated as even I make it. And you should see me make it. Ha ha. And so rocket science comes out, and you can go over there to FourCulture, FourCulture.com, com. And read it. Which this one's about the new wave. Well, anyway, you go look at it. It's about the sunshine up your butt machine, which is, and I just let it out, you know, and it gets a lot of people read this. Now they might not agree with it. I don't care. They might not like it. I don't care, but they get through it and they go, wow, that's another way of thinking of it. What it? I don't know. There's a bunch of them. They've now been doing it for almost a year, but who's counting? Go over there. See, it's called Rocket Science. Got a beautiful little picture of a rocket, like a cartoon rocket. We're gonna go back one of these shows and do a time capsule show. And we're gonna try to get everybody together somehow. Send things in or give me pieces of something. And we're gonna make a disc, and I'm gonna bury it in my backyard. In a hopefully not destroyable metal case or something. And bury it deep. Hope not deep for the well. I got a well out there. Imagine I get deep. I don't know. I can't do that. I'll blow up my whole backyard. But anyway, we'll find a place and dig it down there so that in 100 years, if there is 100 years and people are around, they will dig it up. And they'll find, like, look at this. It's a CD. Like, anybody's going to know a CD is there. And let me tell you something else. And I'm going to tell you this right now. And you mark my word. You got a pen? There's my heart again. You got a pen? You got your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook out? Take it out. Okay, here it is. You heard it here. Y2K plus 18 on the February of the 8th. The 8th of February. Y2K plus 18, all right? DVDs are going out. Do you hear what I just said? DVDs are the next thing to leave. You know the stuff that's left. Gone. I mean, I don't mean it's left that it's still here. It's gone. You know what's gone? Cassettes are gone. Reel to reel is gone. Anything that's not digital is gone. And then all went to CDs and DVDs for pictures, CDs for music, talking or whatever. Gone. It's all gone. DVDs are going. Everything's going to be streamed. Giving you a chance to write it down with the date so that you know you heard it first right here on Cthulhu Chronicles. My name is Frank Cthulhu. Man whose name adorns the title of the show. Now, the other thing I want to do is we've talked to you and done many shows about the Hallelujah Trail. That is the paving. That is the road, the metaphor road, the metaphoric road. Why isn't it called metaphoric road? You take a left on metaphoric road and then go down the Hallelujah Trail. Maybe that's it. Maybe, maybe not. But here's what I'm thinking. There's another thing that could have saved this show, could have hurled this show into a commercial success. We didn't make up the title, The Hallelujah Trail. There was a movie in The Hallelujah Trail. There were any number of things through, but you know, that's all neo-post-modern created things. Now, what I could have done, and I don't know if it would have went over or what have you, was we could have created and sold Hallelujah Trail Mix. What a promotion, huh? Not with my face, but with some kind of logo that said Cthulhu Chronicles, right? Hallelujah Trail Mix. And you got little pieces of butter. Pieces of butter? What am I talking about? No, little dried bananas, dried peas, Chex Mix, pretzels, little pretzels, peanuts, popcorn. I don't know if there's popcorn. Oh, sometimes they have caramel corn. And maybe we'd put a prize in it like it was a Cracker Jack box. Cracker Jack box. What is that called? That is like just bad. That's like dense pronunciation, which, by the way, is the name of my next book. And I'm working on it right now. Dense Pronunciation by Frank Cthulhu of Cthulhu Chronicles. I'll be at Bookmasters, Bookbinders, Bookcase, and book masters. I said, BAM. What's it called? BAM. BAM! Do you do that yet? Do you have a BAM in your neighborhood? What is it? Books and music. That's what it means, BAM. Books and music. It's an acronym. Acronym. Every time I walk into books and music outside, I go, BAM! And they all look at me and they go, yeah, sometimes I get kicked out. We're going to do a time capsule. We're going to do, I say it so it must be true, one of the rare shows that we name, we give a title. And we're going to talk about doing some solo shows, and we're going to get some other people on to talk about the death of all this. This. Done. Over. And the people like Chicky Jaguar fade off into the distance. They'll ride off into the distance. As a horse. I used to be able to do that really well when I was a kid. With a toy horse, anyway. Everyone else went, click, click, click. I went, I had this special, well, anyway, women grew to love it. My name is Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And now that I'm putting this aside, because this is the answer to everything right here. The answer to radio. Yeah, right. No knows how many things. Wake up, it's night, never meant more than it means in Y2K plus 18. Wake up, it's night. I'll do another show on that too. But you know, I can't always do the shows I've done or, you know, it's like I redo it. These aren't routines. I don't do routines. We talk about topics and I talk about it the same way twice because I don't write it down. It's not rehearsed and blah, blah. So here's what I suggest you do. I suggest you go get, to replenish your precious bodily fluids. You get yourself some beverage. You want to get coffee, make sure it's black as hell, strong as death, and sweet as love. And be ready to listen. Here's what's going to happen. I told you a couple of months ago, if not before that, and we have done it before that, that we get emails and other forms of communication saying, remember that show you did with the thing, You ever saw the dog when you do that show with the show? Okay. And what I did was something I thought was an interesting way of finding out what show and then see if it was on the list of requests from people. And that was I went to the archives that don't go back as far as the show, remember, because we didn't have the capability of recording it as easily or at all at certain times when we started because we were young and innocent? No, it was then that long ago, okay, friends? But anyway, yes, it was for me, because we were here from the moment. The moment they started broadband, they went, and now here's Amcast with, and then, da-da-da, and Frank Atolo, who did the first talk show. Get back. Shut up. So I go back and I listen to a little bit of the show that was 10 years ago from this show. Okay? I see, what is that show? And I could get a feel of it. And then what I do is, I say, well, that's one. I got that on the list. Look on the list. I like the little designs it makes. You can't see that because we're not on TV. Thank God we're not on TV. So what's going to happen is I find the show. Now I found the show. And I'm going to play, and it's two shows in one because it is one show. But I found this show that was done, broadcast live from this very spot. I don't know if we see, no, yes, I think it is. We are so beyond the first 7 or 8 years when there were other people here and things went on and there was just, and we weren't even sitting in this particular, oh, you don't need to know all that stuff. Here's my point. 10 years ago, on this night, it was because of 365 days. It wasn't the 7th on a Thursday. 10 years ago, it wasn't the 8th. It was the 7th. And someone had said, "Remember that show you did where you talked about the dogs going through the special dog door when you make a dog door, cat door? You know those things? Those people have them in their on their doors." In the backyard or whatever, so the dog can go in and out. You know, those things. Okay. So, yes, I said, I do remember that. If I ever find it, we'll use it and we'll rebroadcast it on one of my live shows and kind of do a combo like this. Because it's still live. You're still going to hear it live. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find the spot, which I think is 1023, about 1023 into the show that was originally live on February 7th, 2008. Why'd you care? It was 8. That's 10 years ago. And I'm going to start it, and it's going to go into that whole part of the show where I talked about the dogs going through the... I can't even explain. I have no idea of a title. You'll know when you hear this particular segment. It was part of a show having to do with Brooklyn, New York, which is where I was born and raised. Were you raised, Frank, or were you, what was the other, you know, my uncle used to say? See, that's what happens. You do a show like you're into 20 years. You say things over and over again. It's still better than regular radio, but there's no more regular radio now, right? So I'm going to find the spot in that show. I'm going to let it run. And there might be some things in there that are timely. I'm going to make references to other stuff. And we were, at that time, we had a sponsor, Shortstop Jeans. And for all I know, somewhere in this amalgamation of sounds that was that show, you'll hear, who cares? You'll hear shortstop.com jingle and theme. I don't even know if they exist anymore. I didn't look. Whatever, it doesn't matter. We're going to do that part of the show. It's going to, the dog stuff, which goes on for a while, then it's going to go into Brooklyn. Other stuff. I don't know. I didn't hear the rest of it, but I know that people said, talk more, get the shows you did, a number of shows about Brooklyn. Get the show you did about Brooklyn was on the list, and this is one of them, but the dog thing really got people. And if you have a dog, you have a pet, any kind of pet that can go through a dog, through a door, through a dog door, then you'll enjoy it. Because I'm going to play it for you. I'm going to go get coffee while you listen. Because I've heard it, and I don't really need to hear me. This is a requested show. Now, if you remember any show with any guest or anything, any show that has about any topic, I mean, or what have you, then you write to me at fcatolo@yahoo.com or find me on the Facebook where I don't go a lot anymore. But when I do, I'm there, and I'll get a message. And I also have the, you know, I have the messenger now on my Android, because I have a tablet. So you can get a hold of me somehow or other. And I will tell me the show. I will put it on the list. And I'm going to go to, there I am right there. I'm going to go to this and lower it a little bit. Going to go to what? Am I going to go to 1020? Where am I? 10. Oh, did I say 10? About 1023? How could that be 1023? Yeah, okay. About 1007. Let's see. Here we are.
Again, you count the first Y2K plus 8.
See? Y2K plus 8. You can do it from right there. From right there. The date. It's slated. It's date. Here are Cotolo Chronicles from Y2K plus 8. This is the dog door. I can't say routine. This is the dog door topic. I'm not going anywhere. Like I said, I'll be here. So you'll be here too. And I'll be here and you'll be there and what have you. And then we're going to move on with the show. So don't get upset if you hear something dated, because this is requested. Many people requested this. So here we go. The dog show from 2008.
It's February. It's February. And it is the most misspelled month of all of the months. Think about it. January, it's almost phonetic, right? March, come on, who doesn't know how to spell March? It's a verb in itself, right? March, April, May, June, you know the months as well as I do. But you come along with this February, and people think it's, we're going to talk tonight, maybe I'll make this the first thing we talk about. Brooklyn, something that's happening in this place that was, well, it always will be, my hometown. We're going to talk about it, but there, it was never February, and this is where I get this whole idea of it being the most mispronounced month. Everyone in Brooklyn, that special Brooklynese language, which is some kind of distortion of the English language, is February. I mean, the R is just, it's just tossed away. It's sucked up into the suckmosphere. February, February. You say it fast, you say it slow, it's February. February. Not in Brooklyn, February. It's February, and if it's February, must have just been January. I hate that February snow, and all that. I'm not going to be making fun of them. I'm going to be duplicating. I'm not going to do it in Brooklynese. I am going to tell you, though, that many of the things we talk about on this program, we do make a lot of fun because it's fun to talk about things no matter how serious they are and give them an edge of humor. Because you know what? If you're dead serious about something, chances are you're dead. Ooh, what did he say? That's right, from Ice Cap to Ice Cap, from Hamilton City. You know what I'm talking about. Hello to all our fans. And I say fans, not as if you're fanatics. You're not fanatics, you're friends, your listeners, your comrades. Okay, I don't like that audience fan thing. We don't like that. Fans, hello to everybody from coast to coast of Canada, from coast to coast of North America, all our friends over there in Japan, our friends in Canada and friends in South America, although they still can't figure out what we're talking about, especially in Brazil because we're not talking Portuguese. I bet you, did you know that of all the countries in South America, how many speak Portuguese? You know, I didn't know till the other day when I saw the stupid TV commercial. And why was it stupid? That was judgmental, wasn't it? I saw this television commercial. It was something about Chile, products from Chile, Chile, as they say. And they showed the country of Chile in a, you know, they do those visuals where they show the country. It's like a relief, they call it, in sculpture, where it comes out of the, it's not engraved, it's outgraved, and it has like depth and dimension to it. They do that. And so the length and width of what Chile is in South America pops up from that map. And it's like, what do you mean? Chile goes almost the entire coast of South America? Why didn't somebody tell me these things? When you're watching a TV commercial and you learn something, you got to feel dumb because you should know it already. And, you know, I'm not talking about neuritis, neuralgia, because there is not a person yet in the world, I believe, who takes aspirin, no less Anacin, because that's where it comes from, the Anacin TV commercials, right? Anacin, I don't know, and I think I'm correct. I don't think it was Bufferin. Anacin and Bufferin were the fighters. I mean, they were the competitors. They were the foe. They fought against one another in the TV commercials, right? But I think it was Anacin that was for neuritis, neuralgia. And I swear to you, whether it was Brooklyn, whether it was New York, whether it was Canada, England, California, anywhere I ever lived, I never heard anyone say this. Anybody got an aspirin? I got neuralgia. What is that all about? What is neuralgia? If you don't know what neuralgia is or how to spell it or what goes on, it's one of the many things that will pop up during this program that you might not know about. I might not know about, but it will come about because it's somehow connected to a topic we're talking to, whether it's the main topic or the rabbit trail that we run down, hop down. That's why you need a Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. Get your Mead notebook, wide ruled, because you gotta, I don't know whether you write, and when people say write, that's another Brooklyn thing, write. That means using what they call cursive. Do you write or do you print? Well, you know, even when you print, you're writing. So you know what I'm saying? But people don't understand that. When you print, you're writing, but when they say in Brooklyn, they say, are you writing? That means, are you using script? And script, if you go other parts of the country, is called what? Right, cursive. Cursive? And you say cursive, that means you're saying horrible words in Brooklyn, I guess. Use your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. Make the letters large. You don't have to write sentences. You've got to write down things like neuralgia. What's he talking about? Neuralgia. Find out what it is. Why would a person take an aspirin for it? There are a lot of these things are going to pop up as we go on because the doors of my brain are opening left and right, top and bottom. Okay? They're not trap doors. They're those things that the dogs run through. Did you ever build one of those things? Did you have a dog? Did you ever have a dog? You see how it's like, why would you build one of those little doors? Why would you build a little door that got flip-flops underneath your big door if you didn't have a dog or a cat who knew how to go through it? And that's a funny thing. It's one of the funny things. Because I don't know anybody who ever built one of those doors. You know, those floppy doors, usually the back door if you have a porch or if you have a backyard. and the dog can go in and out, so you don't have to keep opening the big door. So the dog has his own dog. The cat has its own door. It's come in and out, okay? And there are animals, and that's the problem with it, of course, is that what can come through? Possums? God, I hate possums. They are the ugliest, most devilish-looking creatures. Wake up, it's night. Possums are nocturnal animals, aren't they? Well, so are cats, too, but you see them around during the day because they're hungry, and who isn't? But you don't want to go through those little doors. There was a dog. A friend of mine had a dog, and he made one of those doors, assuming that the dog is going to realize what to do with it. He's going to know what to do if you make those doors, as if that's like, I don't know, it's like as if it's intrinsic, as if it's something in the nature, it's in the blood of a dog to know if he sees one of, she or she sees one of those little doors with a swinging thing in a door, a dog automatically knows to go through it. Not true. This is not true. And what was hilarious about this particular situation was that this dog, okay, you know the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? I got news for you. You can't teach some dogs anything, period. Okay, this dog, and I don't remember his name. They'll call him Puffy. It was one of those Y names because people always have dogs that are not Y. Y names. They, you know, because they're like baby names. Baby names always have Y names. Right? Stiffy, spiffy, diffy, laffy, smelly, snorty, whatever it is, right? Sparky. What's his name? What's the dog's name? The dog's name is Tolly. Tolly, Holly, Molly, you know. So this little dog that had the Y name, my friend, he figures, well, you know, as soon as I make this thing, and this guy made this thing. He spent an entire day of his life sawing it and shaving so the dog doesn't get splintered. He shellacked it. He went out and got the finest rubber that would, you know, so that the dog wouldn't get hurt as he went through it. And all along, my friend is assuming that the dog knows what to do. The dog is going to see this hole and he's going to go, oh, there's one of those holes. I can go out into the outside world where he takes me with the leash by myself by just going through this hole. And I have to move aside this little, you know, whatever it is, this swinging door. As if that is ingrained in when they breed the dogs, they somehow get that into its consciousness. Just like, they breed dogs for the most remarkable things, specific things, right? Well, not just hunting. Now they breed dogs to sniff bombs, specifically. But they never breed dogs to know what that little door is for. Now, granted, some dogs aren't, dogs can be smart. Dogs can also be stupid. There's no doubt about it. Dogs can be stupid. Now, in Brooklyn, In Brooklyn, there were many dogs. I gotta say that, you know, you just, if they were, they were, they were hard. They were what, slow learners? How about we do that for all you dog lovers out there, so that you don't email me all these things and tell me that I'm putting down dogs, you know, man's best friend all of a sudden. But okay, so here's my friend. Let's call him Sal. No, that's Sal, because Sal is short for Salvador. Who calls anybody, who names anybody Salvador anymore, right? And if you are named Salvador, they call you Sal. It's the end of it. Okay, so Sal, he spends all this whole day, and he hits his dog. And then he's like, look at this, when it's done, and he calls, here, Tolly, whatever is here, Eggnut. Oh, Eggnut's not a Y. Eggnutty, here, Nutty, here, Buddy, here, Slutty. Okay, the dog comes because the dog knows its name or the sound of it, however a dog picks that up when you train it, okay? So the dog kind of knows the name or doesn't know the language, although they say dogs know 5, 6, 7 words, whatever it is. They have a vocabulary that they understand, but they really know the sound. So the guy never calls anybody else the way he calls the dog. When the dog hears that sound, the dog comes running. So he could call the dog anything. Here, Ironsides. See, because he doesn't call his wife like that, right? He doesn't say, here, Martha. Here, Martha. He doesn't say that. So if he did that, though, the dog would come. But he thinks the dog knows its name. Okay, so he calls Eggplant, or whatever the dog's name is, over. The dog comes over. And my friend Sal is so proud that he's made this door, because it's now he's got the backyard all fixed up so that the dog's not going to escape. He doesn't think the dog's going to build a tunnel. You know, he's not this, you know, Richard Attenborough character who can dig, you know, with Charles Bronson and go through and escape. He's not. He's just a dog. I don't even know what kind of dog he was. But you know why? You know why? Because most dogs in Brooklyn were mutts. They were crossbred. They were just mutts. And that's why they were free. And that's why there were very few. You know, a friend would go, I have a pedigree, you know, a pedigree. This dog is, you know, and somewhere down the line, you'd find out it was a mongrel. There's just no such thing. I mean, the real smart dogs, the pedigrees, you know, the expensive dogs, they were in Manhattan. They were in up there in Westchester and places where people, and then out in Long Island, you know, and out in the Hamptons where people had money and they put their dogs, they showed their dogs, they combed their dog's hair. They didn't just build a little door, okay? So here's the dog, and now he's standing there, and Sal's going, okay, you can go out now, and the dog's sitting there. He goes, go ahead, look, go out. He's talking to the dog, and the dog's looking at the door. He's, you know, you can imagine what the dog is thinking in his head. There's a door there. It's like, he didn't even know it's a door. What does he know? He knows the big door, so what he's doing is waiting for Sal to open the door, because that's how he always got out, you know. He said, come on. He goes, come on. Sal goes, come on. You can go through the door. Go, come on, look. So Sal bends down and he starts slapping the rubber little door that stops the mosquitoes from coming, whatever it was. That's the thing that the dog goes through, the hole, okay? He goes, look, come on through. And I'm going, Sal, I don't think he knows. Come on, of course he knows. Come on, hey, come on, get through here. Come on, hey, come on, look, go outside, come on. And there's Sal. Now Sal is just there, bent over. The dog, imagine the scene, okay, because Norman Rockwell could paint this and it would be hilarious. He can't paint it now, he's dead, but he could have, and he should have, and he should have thought of it. I'm really disappointed in the works of Norman Rockwell that he didn't have this, which is my friend Sal, you know, whacking the door, this little dog hole. And the dog just sitting there, looking at Sal like he's some kind of whack, going, you know, because he does not know. He's too stupid. He does not know to go through the door. So, right now what is it? Here's something else, I guess. I don't know if this happens anywhere else, because I grew up in Brooklyn. But here's what happens. Sal is starting to get angry now, because he doesn't want to believe that his dog is so stupid that he cannot figure out that he goes outside that way by just going through there, right? So Sal says, come on. He's persistent, because that's the way they are. You know, New Yorkers, I don't know about New York. I'm just talking about Brooklynites, you know? Come on, Sal, come on, go through the door, you know, no, just constantly. This is the mantra. Go through the door. Finally, Sal gets perturbed. To the point where he goes and he picks up. This is not a large dog. This dog could easily fit through this hole. Okay, I mean, obviously, Sal was meticulous with the dimensions of the hole. Okay, the square, the door, whatever you want to call it. So Sal decides that he's going to show the door. He's so pissed now. Sal is so pissed that he decides this one way to show this dog exactly what that is, without any great embarrassment. Plus, he's pissed and he's got to do something, okay? So Sal comes out of this mantra of, you know, go through the door. He comes out of this mantra by just quickly, in one fell swoop, walking over. He didn't move. It was a move, because he's on his knees. He was stooping over. It's a move. He grabs Tippy, whatever the dog's name, by the neck, the hair of the back of the neck, and the hair in the rump right before the tail, and he picks him up about 6 inches and he throws him out of the hole. Now, Tippy, or whatever his name is, Tippy, God bless Sal. He's a great shot. So the dog's head careens directly. He doesn't get hurt. He doesn't even touch the sides. If this was a carnival game, Sal would have won the biggest, largest stuffed animal available, because the dog did not touch either of the four sides of the hole. The dog hit that rubber door thing and went right through to the outside. And Sal goes, Sal stands up and he goes, yeah, that'll show him. This is, now he knows. Okay. And then we stood there and Sal, and I said, well, you know, he knows he's outside, but here's the deal. And this just does not get any funnier. Okay. In any possible situation. Okay. So we're standing there. And I went, you know, I didn't say anything. You know, in Brooklyn, you didn't tell somebody who was involved in some kind of aggressive, violent movement unless they were doing it directly to you and it was a confrontation of violence. You didn't tell somebody. What'd you do that for? You know, usually you let them do it. They just did it. That's Sal's dog. Sal wants to take that dog and throw it through the hole he just made. Then fine. That's the deal. But so here he goes. Here we are now standing there, and the dog has been hurled through the door and is in the backyard somehow. So, but the dog doesn't come back. So Sal figures he's running around, and he knows now. I mean, this is an assumption. Sal goes, that showed him. That was the definitive motion. Just do it once, the dog learns. Because even though he thought the dog was smart enough to know what that hole was when it wasn't, and then Sal got pissed off, that movement alone should have taught the dog. Wrong. Because the dog was that I decided to leave because I don't know whatever. I was leaving. And so I leave and I look in the backyard just to see what's going on. You know, I was like, what the dog did? The dog found the backyard. He knows the backyard. So he just went around there. Dog's not thinking of the past or what's going on. And sure enough, Tippy or whatever that dog's name is standing now on the other side of the door and he's sitting looking right at the hole and he's going, so even if he learned that you go out that way, he did not figure you go back in that way. So, the moral of the story, I don't know what it is, but this is a colorful blend of the idiocy of Sal and people like that. It's the stupidity of dogs, and just the way of life. It's just a way of life. And I hadn't thought of that story in ages, but it just came up right now, right here on Cthulhu Chronicles. Y2K plus 8, and we're recording this, and we're live, on February 7th. And you will listen to it any possible way you can, mostly at going to cthulhu.podomatic.com. You can download the program there, listen to it at your own time, at your own leisure. Or you could listen to it and stream it across there. You could also stream it if you go to Frank, that's me, MySpace, where you could be my friend if you have a MySpace page. You could read the blog. You could do all sorts of things and have all the fun that people have at MySpace at myspace.com/FRMICO. You could stream the program from there. We have a brand new, we've upped the quality of the program since we changed how you can get it and where you can download it. Your RSS, of course, comes off of Podomatic. You could also get the RSS at our main blog, cthulhuchronicles.blogspot.com. So all these things are possible, and for you to, you don't have to, they're easy to learn, and you could even teach your dog to do it. It's so easy. But so that's what that's what you can do as we go down the Hallelujah Trail right here. And of course, you're going to have to do what we always do. Oh my goodness! I hope my coffee has stayed cold here. That's right. Replenishing your precious bodily fluids. It's part of listening to this program. It's something you need to do. People say to me, well, you have to because you're just talking most of the time, and even when you have a guest, you're talking. So you have to drink. That's not true. You have to drink. Period. I read an ad recently about older men. Here's what you do. It said drink. It only said, you know, get on a decent diet, do some exercise, drink plenty of water. Well, okay, it doesn't always have to be water, but it has to be fluids. You have to replenish your precious bodily fluids. I'm not saying, this didn't take, you know, it said drink plenty of water because it didn't want to say have plenty of drinks. Because there's another thing, you know, about Brooklyn. When you grow up, you say have a drink. When someone says have a drink, they mean alcohol. Have a drink. They don't mean, they say, because they say, like, you want some soda, you want some milk, you want some lemonade. They will define exactly what they're offering you. But if they say, have a drink, you want to go out and have a drink? Have a drink. That generic word in Brooklyn means some kind of alcohol. So you don't want to replenish your precious bodily fluids with something that's going to alter your consciousness and also get you into a lot of trouble if you're driving. You want to use, and you can use a little bit of it though, because I have three things, okay? I have the water that they tell the older man to drink, and younger people need to drink it too. Don't think you're going to get away with this dehydrating. Don't think you're going to hydrate if you don't drink, no matter how old you are. Got to have liquids, okay? Replenish your precious bodily fluids. I have three of them. They are, if you're listening, and you always listen, of course, you know coffee. As I like it, and as with the Cthulhu Chronicles blend. You know what I wish? I know that's a little baby word, but I do wish it. I wish that someone would come along, some products, someone would come along and say, hey, you know what? Maybe make a deal with like Starbucks or Seattle Blend or something like that. Say, let's have Cthulhu, you know, just put it on the bag. How would you like that? Just put Cthulhu Chronicles as we like it. So black as hell, strong as death, sweet as love. Of course. What am I asking for? I'd like something for nothing. Thank you. And pay me for it. Would you please use my name? Because plenty of people who listen to this program, and there are plenty of people. Okay. All right. Granted. Well, even Brian Gumbel. Why did Brian Gumbel come to my mind? I haven't heard that name in ages. Is he still on anywhere? I think he's on HBO, isn't he? We don't have those kind of ratings, but still, here's the point. Let's forget about that for a second, okay? It doesn't make any sense to go into that. What I'm talking about here is the fact that we don't endorse, we're not giving you direct endorsements. These are not paid sponsors or anything like that. They're just things that we like to tell you that we enjoy. So in a way, that is an endorsement. If you care what we enjoy and want to enjoy it and try it and you've never heard about it, do. That's what we did. That's how I found Yukon Jack. I've told that story many times, too many times. Okay? I like the bottle, I like the package. I'm not ashamed to say that. But I like the bottle, I like the package. I said, drank it, and I said, oh, now I like everything about it. I like the package and I like what's in the package. And let me tell you something. In life, okay, you could take this to the bank, as Beretta used to say. You could take this to the bank, and I'm sure he got it from somewhere else. I don't think he made it up, okay, because he's a fictional character. He didn't make it up, but Robert Blake said he could take this to the bank, okay, in a very Brooklyn-esque fashion. If you have anything in life, and this goes for human beings too, I know what you're going to say to me. You're going to say, wait a second, Frank, stop talking about physical beauty or anything like physical. Don't put that into the picture. Sorry, it's in the picture. End of story. It's in the picture. Here it is. If you have something and you enjoy what it is on the outside and what it is on the inside, then what the hell else do you want? Think about that for a second. What the hell else do you want? That's it. Right? Well, start with Yukon Jack, the Canadian liqueur, the black sheep of Canadian liqueurs. I can see the glass, but I don't want to reach for it because it's behind this great new monitor from our technical. We have a technical advisor. His name is Bill Bostic. You've heard that name here before because he's helped me out on many occasions. And he became a member of this, of the elongated and extra, what is it, the elongated staff? Why would they be an elongated staff? What was I trying to say? I was trying to say the mythical staff? I don't know. No, but he's helped us with a many great deal of things, and he's going to help us put up our YouTube. You want to watch for our YouTube Cthulhu Chronicles site, which is going to have videos. Aha! I'm not going video. This is not going to turn into a video show. I don't want to do video. I don't want to do TV. I don't want to do nothing like that. I'll do movies, but that's a whole other story. Because we are working on movies and stuff. But that's a whole thing. I don't want to go into that, okay? Here's what I'm saying to you, and I'm saying this right now. Thanks to Bill Bostic, we've had a number of upgrades here, which are terrific. I have a mouse without a wire. Go figure that one out. I mean, technology just gets away from me. And you know me, if you've been listening to this program, because I've been here way before most people, and way before that, I didn't ever knew the technology in the first place, which is going to bring me to next week's program and the week after that, but I'll get to that in a second. So the deal is, let's get back to this. The deal is I have my Yukon Jack, and here goes. I'm gonna. Oh man, what a stink! Some people could just wipe that, just slug that stuff down, and not even feel the effect of it. Not respond. That's what it is. I respond to the effect of it. And there it is. And I just did it there. Wow, that was terrific. And then water. And any kind of water you can. Although, watch out now for these. There's all this talk now about the, you know, I'm not going to get, I'm not, I, we did this once before. We did something about the water, the bottled water. I don't know. Just watch out for bugs now. There's bugs. There's what else? There's bugs and there's bunnies inside your bottled water. Watch out for bugs and watch out for bunnies. Okay. So that's what you got to do. Just make sure that you want the coffee. As I said, and I don't think I said it this morning. Black as hell, strong as death, and sweet as love. If that's the Cotolo Chronicles blend, and you can use any kind of bean, but it's always black as hell, strong as death, sweet as love. Not burnt or burned. Is it burnt or burned? You know, I couldn't believe, I just want to say this, because you know what a stickler for language we are and how we've done on this program constantly. We tell you about these, you know, people who use, what is it, amongst? People who use Shakespearean language, old English words, and it drives me batty. And I saw it today in the credits of the movie United 93. Now, this is a movie. It's a wonderful movie because, I mean, it really stirs up parts of you that have to do with bravery and courage. And bravery and courage were playing at the Plutonium last weekend. I saw them. They were terrific. What a duo. That's the same thing with courage. But I don't want to get into the movie. I don't want to get into any of that stuff. I want to just tell you that I'm watching the credits because of my partner, a writing partner of mine, who involved with a movie script, worked on the movie. So I'm looking for her name at the end. And but before they got to the credits, they did this thing like, you know, what happened on this, that, and the other. And they typed. I don't think this is typed. But however it is, they get these visuals now onto, you know, white letters, black. So after the movie, you see it says things. And they use the word amongst. Among. Well, no. Amidst. Was it amidst? Yes, they used the word amidst. Amidst. I mean, amidst? This is crazy. You'd rather be speaking Brooklynese. This doesn't happen in Brooklyn. I mean, in Brooklyn, Brooklyn is its own kind of Shakespearean English. You don't hear whilst. You know, imagine my father coming in from a day of work, okay, underneath sinks with boilers and, you know, this dirty plumber with the hands all grimy and the flesh all molded and the dirt between dirt under the fingernails, walking in and saying to my mother, whilst I was working today, whilst I was amongst some of my workers, among, come on, I mean, what is going on in this world, you know? I think there's another show that we could do entirely on that, on how, you know, the baby boomers, unfortunately, my generation, have corrupted a great number of things, and one of them is the language. I don't know, maybe that's even Generation X, maybe it's the generation after that. I don't know. It's a, who amongst us will say, what is going on with that? Ay, 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 driving me nuts. But there it was again, amongst, amidst. Come on, Hollywood. People thinking it's right. I know. Yes, I mean, you know, it's just a little saying. It's a little something you want. It's a postscript, if you will, and you will. I know you will. It's a postscript to the movie you just saw. What does it have to be? What does it have to be in old English? It should have been amidst thy own. It should issue thy. I'm just saying. I saw it again, and I report to you. I observe and I report these things. Every time I see something like this, anytime I observe it, I report it to you and tell you. You be on the lookout for it. And don't use those words. Unless you're going to walk around and talk Shakespearean, don't use those words. Okay. Take a deep breath and have another slug of coffee or something like that. The program after this, not the program directly after this that you're listening to, because I don't know what that is. It could be anything. On the 14th of February, 2008, Y2K plus 8, get it all, see how it all comes together, there will be a no live Cotolo Chronicles. Oh, no. This may be the first year hearing it, affiliates, but here's what's going to happen. There's going to, through our main headquarter server station guy there, SRN, the Spirit of South York, they're going to play a special program, a Valentine's Day program, starting at 7 p.m. up there at SRN. If you click on the SRN thing, that's any one with the network YKX. Okay, it's going to be a special Valentine's Day program. It's going to go right into 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And you will be listening to a repeat, a rare time that I will not be here live on a Thursday night. It has to do with nothing particularly personal. I'm working out of town, and that's that. I just don't know if I'll be back in time, and I don't want to rush, and I have to go. So you will be listening to a hand-chosen SRN repeat. And it's going to sound great. I mean, sound great. So if you never heard, if you haven't heard all of them and you like to listen live, listen then. It doesn't affect anything else because nobody calls in live. And it might be a show with a guest. It might be a show where I just rat-a-tat-tat, razzmatazz and all that jazz. Whatever it is, you'll want to be here. Okay? You still want to be here. Now, the week after that is the 21st of February. February. Okay? There's no songs with February, are there? No, I can't think of any. There's songs where the word February is one of the lyric, but I don't think there's any songs. February. Okay, so on the 21st, this is not necessarily a thrill, but this is really a great thing going to happen here. The man who was responsible as in the team of people responsible for Ampcast.com, which was the music distribution site, but for independent music, but also it was the one of the first on the air live broadcast stations on the internet, right? With a schedule: Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and some great people were there, crazy people, some great people, and they eventually, as they were on for a while, I wasn't one of, there were other people that were on it, and they invited me and Jim Waskowicz, name of one of the brothers, Jim and Chris Waskowicz, who were the most visible of the people involved in Amcast.com back in those days, a long time ago now, friends. Okay, a long time ago in the world and on the Hallelujah Trail, it was many miles ago, because you know how fast this process of progress goes when it comes to zeros, ones and O's. I should have said that. Say I was quick. I should. Jim Waskowicz will be the guest on the phone. Now, not just because we want to put Jim there and go, yeah, I'm the guy. Kind of how he talks. I'm the guy. Yeah, I'm the guy who got Frank Catolo on the independent radio. And I'm the, no, we're not doing it because we want to do that. Jim is always on the cutting edge of what's happening. And he's a Mac man from where, it's not far back he goes. Okay, he's a Mac man. Remember when there was pretty much just Mac? All right? And then and everything else before the Windows thing? Okay, so the Mac man himself, Jim Waskowicz, the man who got me into alternative radio and, of course, helped start alternative radio. Period. That's it. He's going to be on the show. And what we're going to be talking about is not a lot of old, oh, remember this, remember that. Okay. We were talking about the progress of alternative broadcasting, but also the things that are happening and are going to happen and are happening right now that are going to affect you as a person who goes down the Hallelujah Trail, as a person, whether you're under 50 or over 50, who uses a Mac or a PC or anything, a Windows Vista, Windows Viagra, whatever it is that you use, Mac, okay, OS 8, OS 9, whatever they're up to, whatever it is, Jim Waskowicz. He knows what's going on. He'll be talking to us from his home in Connecticut, which is, of course, a state that has that means long river bending or something like that. I don't know. William Bendix, that's what it means. So you'll want to be there on the 21st of February for that. And a happy Valentine's Day ahead of time. Have a good, wonderful time. And SRN takes over for that. And if I get a chance, I don't even know if I'll be able to listen to what it is, but, you know, we'll hear what's going on as time goes on. Information, news, conversation, insubordination, it all happens right here. The time capsule, of course, thank you. Some people are starting to send in things that I'm going to put in the Catolo Chronicles time capsule. We're going to bury it here in Grantville, and there's going to be a ceremony and everything. So send me something you want to have your name on it, by sending me an email at fcatolo@yahoo.com, and then I will send you the address, and then you send me the item, and the item, even if it's a CD of something you do or want to do or whatever it is, send it to me. It will go into the Cotolo Chronicles time capsule. Y2K plus 8. We hope to have enough stuff to shove it into the ground this year and leave it there. Remember, we will not be here to see when anyone finds it. Hopefully, we're talking 100 years from now. We're going to have specific shows, and we're going to have things from people who are all part of it. Now, and I'm not saying fans, I mean comrades, that's what you are, and people involved in it from anywhere in the world. Please, be a part of that. You can do your own. This all started by saying, hey, you know, do your own time capsule. It'll be fun. Dig it, baby. We're going to do a special Cotolo Chronicles. We want you to be part of that one. Okay, so send us something by emailing me at fcotolo@yahoo.com. And at that point, I will send you the address, and then you can do whatever you want with it. I know what you'll do. You go to some, you're good people. You're my people, and I'm your person, right? I mean, we share this time on Earth together. Together. Oh, man. That's good stuff. And, of course, as we head into the last 10 minutes of the first hour and have only talked about the Brooklyn Dog, but I'm going to get into that shortly. I just want to remind everybody that of this, and then we'll move on, okay?
Cotolo Chronicles is brought to you by The Short Stop, casual jeans and slacks for short men. Visit us at
theshortstop.com.
Go to theshortstop.com.
No, it's not there, is it?
Jeans by just doing whatever it is it tells you to do.
Okay.
And you'll get those jeans.
Okay, he's on in the background there. That's him. That's me. Did you notice how there were things I didn't even realize that we were talking about a time capsule back then? What did we do? We blew that, huh? And then we still didn't do it.
We'll do short, not long, spots for the shortstop.
He's doing a shortstop jeans. We could forget about that for a while. We could move on here. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name
is... Brooklyn itself is gigantic.
What?
It is gigantic. It is so what is multicultured. It is so layered.
Oh, here you go, Brooklyn.
There are wheels within wheels. And when you grow up in Brooklyn and you get a very skewed...
Enjoy this guy.
...idea of what the world is like. Because here in Brooklyn, you can get anything. And where do you go? If you go to Manhattan, you can get anything even more than anything that you could get in Manhattan. So you're spoiled, or as they say in Brooklyn, you become spurled. Spurled. The language is essential to kick in here, the story. And there's no way that I am going to be able to cover all the things about Brooklyn in this particular thing. I happen to be working on one of the books I'm working on. And I know I joke about books, but one of the books I'm working on has to do with a very poetic, prosaic look at this incredibly, this inundating atmosphere to grow up. Brooklyn and New York, okay? Absolutely nuts, and stressful and everything, but also, here's what I found out. Now recently last year, I became a member of the AAA. Some would say, "Why? I didn't know you were that heavy a drinker." No, no, no. The Automobile Club of America. You didn't know they had a song? They do. Is it the Automobile Club of America? And I don't read this. It's called Touch. And if you're a member, you get Touch magazine. And it has in it things, resources, coupons, things about traveling, because, you know, you're traveling by car only, stuff, just all sorts of stuff having to do with cars, discoveries, tours, where to go, how to drive, what benefits you get, travels, the travel store, hotels, places to stay, places to do. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, on the cover of the January, February Y2K plus 8 issue, it says, "The Year of a Million Dreams continues through 2008. Oh, wait a second. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. It has to do with this thing. That's the wrong... Page 16, is that it? No. That's the wrong story. But, well, yeah, okay, that's the cover. Right, it's a cover right there. But right below that, it says, "Dollars to Donuts. Brooklyn's the best." That's the article I'm going to talk about right after the top of the hour. Now, and isn't it, it's not strange now. If you've listened to this program, here and there and here and there, okay, you know that I even use that phrase. I say, dollars to donuts. I bet you dollars to donuts and you buy the donuts. Well, that is a dollars to donuts is the phrase. And the phrase, of course, comes from me, from Brooklyn, where I grew up. And where I, and I worked years to stay away from a lot of the language. So I've worked hard so that I'm not talking in that severe Brooklyn accent. I've also told the story of going out to California and trying to be really hip, but not realizing that you can't say water. You say water or you say coffee. And you're stuck. They pin you right away. There's nowhere else that it happens like that. Okay? Dollars to Donuts is the name of the article. This is the article I'm going to look at for a second because, you know, of all the places, little places, and these are, Brooklyn's a big place, but it's, my New York City is the place everyone talks about. And here is, in the Automobile Club of America, the magazine for just the Central Pennsylvania members, I guess they have for all, here it is. Brooklyn as an exhibit? No. As a what? A tourist attraction. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh no, that's the thing. Neo-postmodernists born in Brooklyn. We're at the top of the second hour. Control of Chronicles Y2K plus 8. Brooklyn! Shine a light across the garden again. That's the thing now!
Control of Chronicles. The internet talk show from the neo-postmodernists.
Yes, you neo-postmodernists. So you gotta wonder. No more about my mind and how it works. I have been inundated with everything, sensually corrupted from this now trip of a lifetime.
Keep listening. Remember, keep listening.
Yes, keep listening. Right here. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the program. I guess I'm saying that, you know, if you want to, or if you think about it, you might want to go to this place, but, and I don't, you know, you say, like, why would I go to Brooklyn? Because you, that's what you say. Well, why would this be a place? This is it's a place where it's, people still think they can get mugged. They probably can. And, of course, recently, with the resurrection of safety and culture changing rapidly in Brooklyn, which it has, believe me. I mean, I didn't recognize my own city block. You know, I don't own a city block. I mean, I didn't really recognize the block where I mainly grew up. I grew up on two blocks. I didn't recognize either of them in 2007. Things have changed, and they do change, okay? But listen to this. Here is the book, and now in a book, not a book, but you got to think about this. In a place where people talk about going with your cars, they've been talking about Florida for the weather and the beaches and this and that. And why would anybody start a tour of Brooklyn? Well, here it is. Tour showcases, a brand new tour showcases neighborhoods, movie locations, and historic pizzerias. Did you ever get this? I mean, you know, you go to Virginia. Where did Washington live? Well, Washington slept everywhere. Where did Washington live? You go to Gettysburg. Men died here, right? This is historic. To save the country. Hey, let's go see where they made those pizza pies. You see that? Pizza pies. Never say that in Brooklyn. Pizza pie is a redundancy. You'll even hear it on TV and shows, and people will say it. Pizza pie is, in fact, saying pie. Nobody ever, hear that? Ever. There's Brooklyn. Nobody ever said pizza pie in Brooklyn because pizza means pie and everyone knew it. So nobody would say, I want a piece of pizza pie unless you came from out of town. That was like, oh, he's from Oregon.
saying a pizza pie, huh? Hey, look at Mr. Harrigan, right? AAA talks about a tour bus that, listen to this. I'm going to read from this. I'll give him credit. George Oxford Miller wrote this article, which caught my attention. I must admit, in the bathroom where I read The Touch, oh God, our tour bus slowly cruises down 89th Street in Brooklyn while the opening credits for the 1977 movie Saturday Night Fever roll on the video monitor. The crowded sidewalks, walks, not walks, and storefronts outside the bus windows seem to merge with the scene on the monitor as a very young John Travolta walks down the same busy street, 89th Street, in Brooklyn. Travolta stops at Linny's Pizza for two slices, just as we drive past that very pizzeria, Linny's Pizzeria. We could be in a time warp or on a movie set. Then Travolta turns into Shirt World and reality returns. The corner storefront is now a McDonald's. Now, this is fascinating, too, because there was never such a thing as a McDonald's. When I left Brooklyn, they might not, I don't know, we had, but now I could go into my old neighborhood and find Starbucks and McDonald's. You see that? There were local mama-papa places, ordinary run businesses by people who lived in the area who had storefronts. Chinese laundries. Chinese laundries. Chinese restaurants. I did see a Chinese restaurant that's still there from when I was a child. The Silver Star on 18th Avenue. Silver Star. Chinese restaurant. I bet you it's the same family. It is. I don't know what Silver Star means because I don't know why they call it the Silver Star. There were certain motifs that would pop up here and there. And people did not have, a lot of store owners did not have a great imagination. They just call it whatever they called it. You know, they saw Silver Star. They saw that there was, and there still is. Now I'm telling you about things that have not disappeared. But there was a pharmacy, a famous pharmacy on 18th Avenue in my neighborhood called Silver Rod. What the hell does that mean? Nobody even asked it. I asked it constantly. I was always asking these questions. I was neo-postmodernizing from the beginning and didn't know it. Silver Rod, and it said prescriptions, and it had that picture of the very famous, I don't know what it is, a cup, or, you know, with the smasher. That has a name, too. Maybe you want to look that up in there. You know that thing you always see with drugs where they chop up, but then they put them in pills? Okay. The famous pizzeria, although it's probably not even owned by the same family, Vinny and Johnny's Pizza on, so I think it was 64th or 63rd Street, also on 18th Avenue. So that's the avenue with most of the, stores. Okay, 18th, 19th didn't have stores at schools and stuff like that. But 18th Avenue, so I'm walking down 18th Avenue and Vinny and Johnny's Pizza was still there, it's a pizzeria, it's a very famous pizzeria. Okay, so I don't know if it goes there, but this Linny's Pizza, because it involved the story that involved Saturday Night Fever, which was took place in a giant, what was it called? I forgot the name of the place. Warm beer and lousy food is what it said outside. I forgot what it was. And that it became a very big disco place, and that's where John Travolta went in that story. But anyway, here it is. This is the bus now. It's going, this bus in Brooklyn, okay? Okay, clips of movies filmed in Brooklyn are just one of the unique features of the Slice of Brooklyn bus tour. And the other is pizza, okay? Here's the Tony Muia, I guess Muia. Oh, it sounds like Italian. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Muia says, we're going to sample pizza and see Brooklyn from one side to the other. He designed the tour. Tony designed the tour, and he promises when you take this tour that you board the bus at Union Square, Manhattan. So you take the bus in Manhattan. You get the bus in Manhattan. He said, besides my wife, Carol, and myself from New Jersey, our group of 10 hails from Ohio, Florida, Boston, and the Bronx. These are the people on the tour, okay, from all these different places. Going on this bus tour. It leaves Manhattan. It drives through Little Italy, which is a portion of Manhattan, downtown Manhattan. You've seen that because if you've watched those Godfather movies, you know, Little Italy is where Italy. And then you see, now that's how, I told you that before. There's the language again. Not Italy. 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 Okay? And you wonder why people throw dogs through little holes in the
little doors. I mean, this is, you know, but no Shakespearean line. That's just, you know, that is their language. It's the language you learn when you grow up. So, you're talking about dialects. Nobody makes fun of dialects, but they make fun of Brooklyn because of that toity toy. It's got such a doity little thing to it, okay? So, anyway, this bus tour leaves up Manhattan. It goes through Little Italy, where supposedly the first pizzeria in America opened in 1905. Now, that might be true, but, you know, that I don't really think that's pertinent to it, okay? Okay, then it goes, then the bus goes, and this is according to Mr. Miller, who wrote this article here in the thing. The bus goes over the East River toward Brooklyn, and it goes there on the Manhattan Bridge. There's two places you can get to Brooklyn bridge-wise. Guess how big it is, too. You can take the Manhattan Bridge and the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, wait a second. Hold on a second, okay? Both of them go from Brooklyn to Manhattan. But why call them both the Brooklyn Bridge? It could be Brooklyn Bridge 1 or Brooklyn Bridge 2. They didn't do that. They called one of them the Manhattan Bridge and the other one the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, here's how we knew the difference. The subway trains from Brooklyn got to Manhattan through the Manhattan Bridge. They got back to Brooklyn, back and forth to Brooklyn. The subways had rails and ways to go on over the bridge. They didn't go underwater, okay? What went underwater was the tunnels, the Holland Tunnel. That's a whole other story. But, I mean, so we always knew if you're on a train going to Manhattan from Brooklyn or vice versa, you were going over the Manhattan Bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge only had cars, no trucks, on the Brooklyn Bridge. There's a great, great funny story of a cousin of mine, and I'll tell you the story real quickly. There are no trucks. Well, I can't say that now. Maybe there are. Maybe that's why I'm just talking about the names of the bridges, the Brooklyn Bridge and Manhattan Bridge. Maybe because they call them different things because they couldn't call them both the Brooklyn Bridge. Brooklyn Bridge is older than Manhattan Bridge, so they built this other bridge that's got to go back and forth to Brooklyn, partially for the trains, the subways, and for more cars because a lot of cars go back and forth. This is the fourth largest city in the world, friends, so there's cars going back and forth, but only trucks on the Manhattan Bridge. So a cousin of mine once had no choice, he claims, and he got onto the Brooklyn Bridge in a truck, and he barreled across the Brooklyn Bridge to get there, hoping a cop did not find him or there was no one sighting a truck going over. Oh, right. Think about that for a second. There's never a truck on the Brooklyn Bridge, but one truck is going to get away with it. Think about that. Hey, that's Brooklyn, people. I'll try it. Maybe this one time it won't work. We'll play the odds. We'll roll the dice. That's the way we live in Brooklyn, okay? We did in those days. So he gets to the other side because he didn't want to go to take the Manhattan Bridge. Whatever his reason was, he took the Brooklyn Bridge in a truck. He gets to the other side and there's a cop car, finds him, sees him, pulls him over to the side, causes all sorts of traffic and everything. And the cop gets out and looks at my cousin and he looks at him and he goes, she goes, is something wrong with you? And he goes, why? He said, you just went over the bridge. Didn't you see the bridge? And he went, here he's cornered. But this is so typical Brooklyn that it's like this. Remember, just take the chance. He just went over the Brooklyn Bridge in a truck. And the first one in maybe years, okay? And he got nabbed because, of course, you're going to get nabbed. And the guy said, why did you go over the bridge? And my cousin says, what bridge? Now, it's, you know, when all else fails, you know, being cornered, that's what they teach you in Brooklyn. You are taught like this, and that is a metaphor for behavior of people who come from Brooklyn, because you're always fainting, doing something wrong, doing something right, following a rule, because there's just so much going on. And people do get away with plenty of things, okay? So, what bridge? How do you like that? Okay, so this new bus tour goes over the Manhattan Bridge. It looks across the river at the Brooklyn Bridge, because you can see it, okay? And Tony, let's call him Tony. He cues the bus driver, and the bus driver puts on the CD, Frank Sinatra singing the Brooklyn Bridge, which is from a movie called It Happened in Brooklyn, one of Frank Sinatra's early movies when he was that skinny little crooner, okay? The song and view of the historic bridge set the stage perfectly for the half a day in Brooklyn, insider tour of the second largest borough after Manhattan. Now, the second largest borough after Manhattan in some kind of a space, but not in population. See, that's the deal. That's the fourth largest city in the world. It's not just a city. It's not a city. It's a borough, but it, on its own, would be the fourth largest city for population. Okay, so it goes through, of course, the world famous Coney Island, the New York Aquarium, which is in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens. Have you heard any of these things? These are all, you know, incredible places. Okay, and the 526 acre Prospect Park. And I was recently, it's one of the places I went, because I used to, because everybody knows Prospect Park. They know Central Park, because the Central Park is this New York thing, but Prospect Park, 526 acres. And it's just like Central Park in so many ways. Okay? And yet, Brooklyn, as this guy in the article says, Brooklyn hardly registers in the minds of tourists, or for that matter, the residents of Manhattan, as a fun destination. So this is fascinating that all of a sudden someone has decided to use Brooklyn as a kind of a Disneyland, a kind of a place where you can see all the, this is in a sense, it's many different things. It's a battleground like Gettysburg. It's like going through Athens, because you can see the ruins of great, I better take a slug of this here. Hold on. It's like going through Athens. In other words, what I'm trying to say is you'd have to go through a number of different cities around the world to see the kinds of things and the areas that you would see in Brooklyn. And people in Manhattan don't want to go to this. People in Manhattan have never been to Brooklyn. There are people who live in Brooklyn who have never even been to the Statue of Liberty. You're looking at one of them. And you're looking at me. You know, I have never been to the Statue of Liberty. I lived in Brooklyn for 28 years. I looked around when I was in Manhattan. I went to Manhattan, went to the Bronx, went to the Queens, wherever I went. It wasn't the Queens. It was Queens, the Bronx. Okay, so these are just worlds, and within themselves, worlds within worlds within worlds. Okay, and Tony Muia. I don't know how you spell that name. Maybe he's not Italian. Yeah, he must know. He must be. Okay, it doesn't matter. He wants to change the fact that Brooklyn is not a fun destination. Brooklyn on the map. Wants to put Brooklyn on the map as a kind of historic and cultural place to tour. And it is. It is. You just never looked at it that way. Nobody looks at it that way. It has the problem with Brooklyn, it has a stigma. It's a stigma of urban repression, a stigma that goes way far back. It's a completely different place now. It does not have the problems it had back then. I'm talking back then. I'm talking 40 years, 45 years. Okay, so he's trying to change this guy. And listen to this. He's a 43-year-old former respiratory therapist. He quit. He quit his healthcare position to launch a tour business of Brooklyn. God bless this guy. Wow. An entrepreneur or what? He says, and I quote from the article, "I like to ask locals where to eat. I make a lot of friends, I make a lot of friends that way and invite them to visit me. Some have, and I take them around Brooklyn. I realized that no tours really show the Brooklyn I grew up in and love. So I took the two things I know best, Brooklyn and pizza, and he came up with the tour." Huh? Huh? Is this guy cool or what? And you're talking to somebody who, you know, I lived those 28 years with one dream, to get out of Brooklyn. Okay? Because to some people, you know, you can grow up anywhere and stay there. You know, not just travel other places, but stay there. You know, your roots are there. It's fine. You can marry people from there. You live. You have children. It doesn't matter. There's nothing judgmental that I have to say about that. That's okay. All right. But there are places you grow up that are so intense. They can strangle some people, and they feel like they're going to strangle. And I had a dream to get out of there with my life. My dream was bigger than that. I wouldn't want to get out of there. you know, but if I had to leave anything I had to leave behind, I did to get out of there. And I did. I left everything to get out of there. But that was because the input, okay, and when I talk about neo-postmodernism and today, everybody getting this input of information, of everything, okay, deprivation, information deprivation, okay, now can happen anywhere, but you grow up in Brooklyn, especially in around the time I grew up, and around in New York, and you were just, I mean, you know, where do you go? Where do you go? I mean, what a culture shock to move from there to, let's say, Manhattan, Kansas. You went from Manhattan, New York to Manhattan, Kansas, and I don't know how you exist. It's not, I mean, night and day, chalk and cheese. It's incredible. So anyway, but Tony came up, this is a great idea because this is untapped tourist territory. Brooklyn, it's like, right? Bus and walking tours of Manhattan are everywhere. But the hotel is the Athena Manhattan across from Madison Square Garden, even provides guests with free Experience New York kits that include guides and CD players and audio tours. But the Slice of Brooklyn tour, okay, came up with a good name, the Slice of Brooklyn tour is the only tour of Brooklyn that picks up in Manhattan. The Union Square Rendezvous Point is only a short subway ride from the Athena Manhattan Hotel and most of uptown, okay? After crossing the Manhattan Bridge, the tour cruises through Dumbo, D-U-M-B-O, Dumbo. What is it? Neighborhood down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass. Is that Dumbo? Down under Manhattan Bridge overpass. Yeah, there it is. Okay, the bus, Tony plays scenes from Scent of a Woman Coming to America, on the little video thing. You pass corners and, you view featured, corners and neighborhoods featured in those movies. You wind through a cobblestone street and you, make your first stop, the Empire Fulton Ferry State Park, which connects the shoreline between Manhattan and the Brooklyn Bridges. Has anyone ever heard of the Fulton Fish Market? This is a place that's gigantic. I talk to you a lot. Because I loved the atmosphere of the Pike's Market in Seattle. I've mentioned that and talked about that. We have fans up there in Seattle who know about that place. Great place right off the bay. Is that a bay? What is that? You know, the Olympia place. You can see the volcano and everything. Anyway. But here, okay, here's Fulton Fish Market. This is where fish come from. There's a shore. There are docks. There are things. New York. This is Brooklyn. The docks where everything comes in. A lot of the things you get in the world come from there, okay? And you've seen movies when those docks have been the sets. There's these real sets. Not sets, real sets. Hey, wait a second, that's wrong. There's no such thing as a real set. It's either a set or it's real. These are actual places used as the setting of, okay? Then the, let's see what happens then. The Slice of Brooklyn. Is that what it's called? Brooklyn? Is that what I just already forgot what it was called up there. The Slice of Brooklyn. Is that what it is? Yeah, Slice of Brooklyn Tour. Sob. Sob. Oh, the sob. It drives to the other end. The other end. Listen to me. I just went into Brooklynese there. It drives to the other end of Prospect Park and stops at the old Fulton Street docks, as I just told you, which are below the Brooklyn Bridge. That's one of the best views of the Manhattan skyline. And it's true. I was at, if you ever get down there to Brooklyn, there's a place downtown of Brooklyn where the Supreme Court is. And you know, you've seen on television now maybe a million times on, the Supreme Court has a major place down there in Brooklyn. And it's a giant courtyard and everything. And you go down this wonderful street called Montague Street and there's this thing called the Promenade. The Promenade is built above the many houses, many very now very very expensive houses below it in a neighborhood, a very expensive neighborhood filled with refurbished red, what are they called again? I forgot what they're called. Houses, old houses. I mean, really old houses, classic houses. Some of them refurbished, some not. These are houses that are worth millions of dollars. I mean, you just forget about Beverly Hills. And it looks completely different, and it smells different, and it is different. And the sights are different, but it's very, very expensive. Well, the promenade is wonderful because you can walk along the shoreline while not even be anywhere near it, and you can look over, see the skyline. You can see the Statue of Liberty and everything. And of course, you at one time could have seen the Twin Towers. Everything. It's beautiful in any possible way. It's beautiful. It's a painting in bad weather. It's a painting in good weather. It's just its own thing. You don't see it anywhere else. I don't know if they take you down the promenade. We'll find out. Or maybe we won't find out. I don't know. But I'm just giving you a lot of extra stuff if you're thinking about that. There's a water taxi unloads a group who head down the block to Grimaldi's Pizza, rated best by some guy. I don't know. Whatever it was. And Grimaldi's is a small mom-pop storefront that serves Neapolitan-style pizza, which is the thick, as they used to say, Sicilian pizza. No, I'm sorry. Sicilian pizza is the thick, the square. And you know, they never said it. Again, here's Brooklyn. Here's how you say it. What do you want? You want a piece of round or a piece of square? Piece of square. And square is not that Chicago deep pan. That's Chicago's special thing. They said it's deep pan pizza. No such thing. There's square or there's round. Slice of square, square. What do you want? Square or round? Give me. And people, you know, they say, I want a square. Give me a piece of square. Two squares and a round. Give me three rounds and a square. You want a whole square pie? Oh, my God. That's more expensive than, of course, now it's gigantically expensive. So you get the square was called Sicilian. And the round, I believe, was the Neapolitano. Neapolitan. Okay? I've got all this Italian background, and I'm screwing up on Italian names, right? The Grimaldi family has been making pizza since 1941. And they've been on this old Fulton Street since 1990. Okay, here he goes. Da, 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 da. What is it? Where else does he go? Chris Grimaldi. This is my favorite part of the tour, says Frank Sanchez Jr., a 13-year-old boy, and his father, Frank Sr., joined the tour from the Bronx. We live so close to Brooklyn, Frank says. We live so close to Brooklyn, but I didn't know much about it. So we signed up for the tour. He takes a bite of this pizza from Grimaldi's. I'm used to Manhattan pizza, but this is better. It's great to try different types for comparison. Wait a second now. You think about this. The pizza is different in two boroughs. This is how close is this? This is like in Europe, countries are small. Okay, in America, states are large, but I mean, you know, they could be. In Europe, you can go from one country to another in a couple of steps. You can take a train, and everything changes. Not everything, but, I mean, you go from, I mean, as you go in Italy, not Italy, in Italy, as you go closer, as you go more and more north, you get more and more of that Swiss, white, blonde Nestle's chocolate thing, you know? then the Italians, they start to change little by little by little. And you go over the border, and everybody's Swiss and white and whatever, and blonde, you know? But these are boroughs inside of New York City. And I told you that before I read this. People in Brooklyn never been to the Bronx. People in the Bronx never been to Brooklyn. This guy's going, hey, you know, I have pizza in Manhattan. And the Brooklyn pizza's better. People are taking the tour inside of New York City. What does this tell you? What does it say to me? It says to me what I always knew. You know, worlds within worlds within worlds, but not like Brooklyn is unbelievable. It's not like Athens. It's not like Rome. Because you could go to all these different worlds inside of Brooklyn and you could stay there and want for nothing. Nothing. And you can't say that about Manhattan, Kansas. You can't say that about Orlando, Florida. You can't say that about Santa Rita, California. You can't say that about Portland, Oregon. You can't say that about I forgot what I was going to say. It's funny, huh? I was going to mention a place in Washington, and I forgot the name of the city. And it wasn't Seattle, but even Seattle. Okay? If it's even Seattle, you can say it's even Seattle. Okay, it also goes, now it goes down Shore Road. Okay, it gets into, it leaves the deep Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn, deep Brooklyn, that's the market, the Supreme Court I told you, and all those places, Macy's, lots of stores, shopping, and what used to be very bad neighborhoods, and I mean, when I mean bad, I mean poor neighborhoods, criminal-laden neighborhoods, tough neighborhoods, you know, poor neighborhoods. I just say, that's where all the crime came from. No, it's not true. It's not true. That's not true. I shouldn't say that, and I won't say that anymore, I promise. Not all that. But, you know, these are all now more residential, let's just say residential neighborhoods, and it goes into, it changes inside of itself, cosmetics of a change. They go down Shore Road, which used to be a very, very expensive and hansy-tansy place to live. And that's where it goes. It goes. It follows Shore Road along the Riverside Greenbelt, lined with million-dollar mansions. And it goes to the Verrazano. You know, this is wrong. Isn't it Verrazano? This guy says is written Verrazano. Is it Verrazano? Good God, have I been away that long? I went over the Verrazano when I was in. That's how I got to Brooklyn. I was staying in Staten Island. I went to Brooklyn. I'm going Verrazano. See, this is another thing about Brooklyn people. You take this mentality with you wherever you go. You could learn to speak differently, as I have. Although it's still probably as fast as anybody speaks in Brooklyn, but that's not intrinsic, because many people anywhere else can speak fast. But I don't say coffee and water, and I don't walk my dog. Okay, but still, you take this mentality with you. Grow up with this mentality, and here I am calling it the Verrazano Bridge. Is it the Verrazano or Verrazano? Is this guy wrong? This guy wrote this. May know nothing. Okay. So anyway, he plays more stuff. What does he play? He plays more stuff, and then he goes to more places that he loves. Okay, he can't resist his native son pride as the bus cruises through the neighborhoods of his youth. Let's see where he's from. I'm as Brooklyn as they come, he says. My brothers are named Vinny and Joey, so you know I'm Italian. See, I was right. He's Italian. Muya. Muya. And he says, he talks about stoop etiquette, stipulates that the owner always sits on the top step, and about playing stoop ball, bouncing a ball off the steps for hours when he was a kid. Now, this is something. Here's something else, okay? Very few people. The other day I was watching this tribute to Paul Simon, and all these artists, you know, performers, whatever, were singing Paul Simon songs. And there's one Paul Simon, the record, the song is a simple song, but I love the record. It's called Late in the Evening. And Paul Simon, who is from Brooklyn, hello. Or is he from Manhattan? I don't know, he's somewhere around there. Paul Simon says, there's a lyric in this, and all the girls out on the stoops, yeah. And there must be tons of people in the country who don't know what he's talking about. Where's the stoops? Is that some kind of place like The Hague? That's the other one I was thinking of, the Bronx. And then in the Netherlands, The Hague, which is also kind of Dutch culture. So the Bronx, The Hague. There aren't many other does. There's not the Paris, right? The Spain. Welcome to the Spain. Okay. The stoops. Who calls these steps in front of full houses and apartment houses stoops? I don't know where it came from. I think it's intrinsically Brooklyn. The stoops. And I listened to the song, and there's Paul Simon, and all the girls out on the stoops, yeah. I'm going, that's an image to me that is something from my youth. The girls on the stoops. Stoop ball, where you take the ball, which is a rubber ball, it's not a hard ball, a rubber ball, and you'd throw it against the stoop, and the guy behind you, way behind you, in the street or on the other side of the street, whatever, you know, watching for cars, is catching it, bounces once, it's a single, double. Okay, this is a form of, this is an urban game of kind of baseball game with two people that isn't played anywhere else, no less stoop. The stoop. Where were you this morning? I was out on the stoop. Where were you? I didn't see you on the stoop. I was on a stoop. You were sitting on a stoop. I was sitting on a stoop. Mary Ann was there, and I was there, but they're sitting on a stoop. You were on a stoop? Yeah, didn't you see it? Who's with you? Oh, you were on Angelo's stoop. Oh, yeah, well, I didn't look at Angelo's. Okay. Oh, you get it. On and on and on and on. Okay? Stoop. So here he is talking about it, and this guy is telling all about it. I could do this tour. Okay? I could, and maybe he should hire me. Hire me. I'll go around and tell you where all these places. I'll tell you more about Brooklyn. This whole show right now. It's turning into the whole show. Forget about the Japanese and the gadgets and the other stuff I was going to talk about. This is the show. So then he goes to a place that I remember, which used to be like, you know what's funny, too, is that Brooklyn is so big that you used to go places in Brooklyn as treats when you were a kid. My father used to say, you know, we're going to do it Sunday. Let's go to the Spumoni Gardens after dinner. Or let's go out to eat, which in itself is like go out to eat to a specific neighborhood and a place where we rarely go because it's not our neighborhood. And because everything is very cliquey and tribal in those days in terms of neighborhoods and families, right? He said, but we're going to go out. It's Sunday. We're going to venture out into Brooklyn. It's a venture out into Brooklyn. Go to a certain place to have dinner where we would have things like, you know, fried chicken in a basket, which is the Sunday dinner or whatever. And then let's go to the Spumoni Gardens. The Spumoni Gardens still exist. What is Spumoni? And why do they call it the Spumoni Gardens? This tour takes you there. Let's see what he says about it, okay? Where is it? The L of the Spumoni Gardens. Spumoni, let's see what he says. Pizza and Spumoni are the main attractions for years and years and years. Although it's a full course Italian restaurant. Now, here it is. He started, okay. Ludovico Barbati started selling Spumoni, which is, and Italian ices from a horse-drawn cart in 1939. And then he opened this restaurant. He added Sicilian style pizza. It's a square. Okay, to the menu. Now, they have dinners and everything like that. The Spumoni Gardens. This is not like the Botanic Gardens, with the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, which is like, you know, acres of flowers on display and, you know, colorful things. This is just gardens. This is where you go, you sit down, there are these metal in the winter and in summer. I mean, I don't even know if it was open in the winter. Maybe it wasn't even open in the winter. There are these wired tables, outdoor tables. You sit down, you'd have Spumoni, which is a strange kind of ice cream. It's a strange, I mean strange because it's nothing like ice cream, but it's this Italian dessert. And it is like, it's not nothing like ice cream. It is like ice cream, but it has a different taste, and it's got a little stuff in it, little nuts, and actually they're big nuts. They're half nuts. And I'm half nuts. And I remember having it. In other words, you wouldn't have ice cream, and you would never mistake Spumoni for ice cream, okay? So in the gardens, you can have, okay, he has, here's what they do. They savor, you stop at the Spumoni Gardens, where you have, he has what? Crunchy crust, and they have slices. They also sell flavors of this frozen treat. See, that's what you call it. I can't call it ice cream, although it is cream in it. There's vanilla chocolate, and there's a rainbow, which has all three, vanilla chocolate and strawberry. No, not strawberry. It's not strawberry. Check this out. It's pistachio. Now, pistachio. This is years and years and years before a designer ice cream. Pistachio Spumoni. Huh? Does it sound like something you'd like to put in your mouth? You should. You should. Okay, you can get, you could get it frozen, of course, Spumoni. This is, okay. It's as smooth as ice cream. This is what he says. And just as rich. That's all he says. But anyway, you can get, they get all this stuff, okay? And then what are they? They conclude the tour with a walk on the all-time Brooklyn classic, the Coney Island Boardwalk. You pass the original 1960 Nathan's hot dog stand. You go to your supermarket, most places in the United States of America, you buy Nathan's hot dogs in a package. Nathan's hot dogs were originally from Nathan's. And here was the song. Dun, 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 dun. Nathan's the hot dog stand, the Coney Island hot dog stand. Nathan's the hot dog stand, the Coney Island.
Shine a light or I'll never get back to Brooklyn. Brooklyn. It's been so long now, I wanna get back to Brooklyn. My Brooklyn, USA. Shine a light, or I'll never get back to Brooklyn. My Brooklyn. It's been so long now, I wanna get back to Brooklyn. My Brooklyn, USA. She was my baby until I joined. come back someday. I knew my heart belonged to Brooklyn, only Brooklyn. Now I wanna get back. She's my sunny day.
Everything that happened right there from 10 years ago on this night. Where are you? I was here. Were you there? My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, the man you were just listening to. And that was a repeat performance that was requested. If you have a show you remember and you'd like to hear it again, I will look for it. Let me know. fcotolo@yahoo.com or on the messenger at Facebook. Find me at Facebook. Do it there. Twitter at Frank Cotolo. Not hiding from anyone. And you can get me there. So coming up, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be the one, the only Mr. Savino. One of the three amigos. That's one of my three amigos. Your own amigos, what do I care? I told you we don't know what's going to happen, but someone may be on the show next week, and then we got Marla Martinson. Martingale? I said it wrong again, I'm sorry. You'll hear about it, and you'll see it, and I promise I'll get it correct. JuiceTalk.com, those of you listening on the live stream, he's coming up. Savino Veritas, it's going to happen. In the meantime, in between time, take care of yourself and those around you. And let them take care of you, too. It's a two-way street. Boy, that was like, where did that come from, huh? Some book of fairy tale goodness. Go to Amazon, get my books, and we got big announcements coming up this year. It's going to be a terrific year for me, so stick around. I'll spread it around. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwell, wherever you may be located. Yeah. Just keep listening. Stuff's going on. Me, I'm going because I have nothing more to say.